I want to very briefly draw your attention to the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We are interested in two verses, verse 2 and 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. Paul writing to the Thessalonians says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Savior." The epistle to the Thessalonians is written to make clear to the young church at Thessalonica Paul's affectionate and heartfelt concern for their spiritual and moral well-being. In the course of his address to them, he gives assurance of their election of God, his appreciation of their evangelistic zeal, his gratitude that many have received the gospel as from God, and many tokens of his love and prayerful concerns. Two clear notes he weaves into this epistle. First of all, the great importance of the believer's holiness and the need to watch and pray so that we may not be asleep when our blessed Savior comes to judge the whole world in righteousness. The epistle is notable for the numerous basic exhortations with which it ends. So on this occasion, marking the close of the Turnbull's ministry here in Zambia, I wish to zero in on a trinity of graces that Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, first of all, singles out for importance, supreme importance: faith, hope, and love. Here, he selects the same three graces, but not simply to praise them for their own inherent merits. He now regards them in their energetic operation. He looks at them as powers and as influences. He makes mention of the work of faith in verse 3, the labor of love, and the patience of hope. And I wish to draw your attention to this first as a way of remembering the work of the Turnbulls, even as they served among us, and secondly, as a way of encouraging us to emulate them and to press on in these same operations. I'll be brief, so no intention to unpack anything in any detail. Two things I want to say. First, to observe the fact that Christian graces are active powers. They are active powers. Faith, love, and hope, as they stand in themselves, have a beauty of their own. They are beautiful graces. They are like flowers. Flowers are lovely. But if all they stood for was to display their loveliness, and that is all, they would, in a sense, be useless. Because that loveliness doesn't last anywhere. They are out for a brief moment, and before long, they are gone and dead. Well, in fact, they don't just stand there to display their loveliness. They play another important function, which is to prepare for seeds and for fruits. Even so, faith, hope, and love, if all they did was to display their beauty, if all they did was to show how wonderful they are, what magnificent qualities they are, they wouldn't be very useful. As a matter of fact, they are there to produce fruit. And the first thing I am saying about our dear brother and sister is that they didn't just stand to show us these graces. They produced fruit. Well, that's the first thing I want to say. Secondly, Christian graces have their separate spheres of energy. They have their separate spheres of energy, and I want to speak about that briefly. Notice, first of all, the sphere of faith. The sphere of faith is to give rise to work. Note that in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. And then he says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Your work of faith. Faith here is not just being seen in its beauty. It produces work. A work of faith, faith that gives rise to work, is another way of saying that the work it gives rise to comes from faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Biblical faith is therefore based on revelation. Revelation. It's not just positive thinking. It's not just some strong, firm, indistinct feeling I have within myself. It could be a feeling, it could be a conviction of heart, but it's a conviction that is based on revelation from God's Word. Now, you could say that the work of ACU was a work from faith. How so? Well, it is a means that God is using to extend His kingdom. Now, the church is an important organ through which God extends His kingdom. There are other organs that God uses to extend His kingdom. And one of them is the African Christian University. In the spirit of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, this vision was birthed, and this vision has come to being. And its basic thrust is to have an influence in the community through training young men and women to think biblically about life, to think biblically about work, to think biblically about politics, to think biblically about business, to think biblically about the whole of life, to think in ways that the average person in our country does not. It's a work, therefore, that comes from faith, a conviction in the heart that is stimulated by revelation. But not only that, it's an active faith. Note that this faith does something. Paul says, we remember without ceasing your work of faith. A work that is produced by faith. What are we to understand by that? Well, it's an active faith in the sense that it goes about to bring about that which it was intent upon giving birth to. So, this is not just a work that remains in the mind. It's a work that is brought about. It's a work that is acted on. It's an effort that doesn't die in the mind. It's an effort that has come about. It's an active faith. Well, another thing Paul says he remembers without ceasing was what he refers to as their labor of love. Their labor of love. It's another way of saying a labor which comes from love. Now you will notice that he uses the word work in the early part of verse 3 and labor in the latter part of verse 3. Is there a difference between those two words? Well, yes, there is. In a sense, they are referring to the same thing. But in another sense, labor is harder than work. It implies great effort, toil, trouble. Love, in this sense, goes beyond faith in that it undertakes a greater task. With love, all toil is sweet. And the implication here is that the Thessalonians experienced great difficulty in their endeavor to serve the Lord. Great temporal difficulties. They were in great anxiety, and the work before them was great. But in spite of that challenge, they gave themselves to self-denying exertions in order to serve not only God, but to serve others as well. It's like parents sometimes, they don't have much money and they don't have much food, and they are willing to give up their own share in order for the children to eat. And not eating themselves is a painful thing, is a difficult thing. But out of love for their children, they are willing to deny themselves. Paul is suggesting that the Thessalonians were willing to do that, to labor for love's sake, to labor to promote the good of another. And in a sense, it could be said about the Turnbulls that they did just that. Both Ken and Lisa are very well educated people. Ken is a professor of chemistry. He studied the difficult subject, at least a lot of us find it difficult, of organic chemistry. He has a PhD in that. He could have had a very lucrative career in America. He was teaching in a university, and he left that, first of all, to go to Mozambique to plant churches there under the New Tribes mission. And then he left that to come here and found a university. They were not coming to have an easy time, to have a lavish time, to have an easy life. They were coming very conscious of the difficulties that lay ahead of them. They were coming to help us. They were coming for our good. They were coming to promote the welfare of Africa. The West, in a sense, has already reaped the influence of Christianity. Christianity has taken them far and has given them so much that is good. And as they looked at Africa, they wanted Africa to experience the same. And they were willing to give up their comfortable lives to come and labor here with us and for us. Theirs is a labor of love. And as the Apostle Paul thanked God for the Thessalonians' labor of love, we thank God for your labor of love, Kenny and Lisa. Another thing he remembered without ceasing was what he terms as their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God, our Savior. Their patience of hope, or if you like, their endurance of hope. Hope produces endurance. Hope gives birth to endurance, to patience. And the question I want to ask this evening is this: how do you keep on going in a path of obedience to Christ? How do you keep on going in some ministry? How do you keep on going month after month, year after year, decade after decade, where there are emotional and relational and spiritual and financial obstacles? When normal human encouragements evaporate. And sometimes you feel forgotten. How do you carry on? What does it take to hang in there? Even when the glamour is gone. Even when others are no longer focusing on your ministry and thinking about your ministry. What it takes is patience, endurance. We do not live in a generation that puts a high premium on endurance. In relation to jobs, even in relation to ministry. When I lived in South Africa, I served in a church where I sometimes felt that the people's patience had a very low threshold. You begin a ministry, there is excitement, people come to it, people give themselves to it, but within a year, they have all lost steam. And they want to think about something else. It's like you have an ADD church. There is serious attention deficit. That's the spirit of the age. And we see it right here in the church. How often have we not had people come forward with bright ideas about some ministry? They come to the elders and the elders encourage them. And they start. Within a few months, it's over. How often have you not given yourself to a ministry, to a cause, to a vision, and your heart really feels like you can do this, and you want to do it, and you want to go on, and you start. And within a few months, it's no longer there. We've seen this among young people. They start something and before long it's gone. They start another thing and before long it's gone. We see it among older people. They start something else and before long it's gone. What's missing there? Endurance. Patience of hope. I saw Ken frustrated. I saw him discouraged. I saw him sometimes feel like the churches did not support what he was doing. He might have left 8 years ago, but he didn't. He kept at it. He kept at it. Discouragement, sometimes from the churches, sometimes from the government, sometimes from the board. Discouragement everywhere. He might have left 9 years ago, but he didn't. He kept at it. We must keep at it. And what will move us to keep at it? Hope. Without hope, there may be no patience. Without hope, there may be no endurance. Hope. In the context of the Thessalonians, hope would have to be a conviction that Christ will come. He will come. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. He will come. It doesn't matter what people say. He will come. Hope. It must mean a preparedness for His coming. Because there is hope that He will come, they must prepare themselves. They prepare themselves. And they have this expectation within themselves that He will come. They have a desire for His coming. That must be the Christian hope. With regard to our ministries and with regard to our projects, with regard to what we feel God has called us to do, surely there must be a belief that this is good and this can work and this can bless us. This can bless the church. This can bless our country. That is hope. And unless we feel that way, we can't persevere. We can't endure. I have reason to believe that my brother Ken felt that way about ACU. He transmitted that sense of hope to many of us concerning ACU. He's leaving now, but there are so many others who now feel exactly as he felt when he first came here. They have hope that this is a good thing. And if we can keep at it and invest in it, invest time and energy and money, whatever we have, we will see an institution that will not just change Zambia, but the continent of Africa. Hope. Let me conclude. Because he remembered without ceasing their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God the Father, we see him giving thanks to God. When we see a work of faith, the labor of love, the patience of hope, we must be thankful. Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you. We must be thankful. We must be thankful for men like Ken. We must be thankful for what they have done. We must be thankful for people in our church who are focused and never give up. We must be thankful for people who will carry on even when the going is tough, even when immediately they can't see fruit. We must be thankful. Imagine if such people were not there, where the church would be. Imagine if the church depended on you, and you don't have faith, you don't have love, you don't have hope. Imagine if the church depended on you. You must be thankful. We must be thankful to God for people who produce this kind of fruit. But finally, this must evoke a spirit of prayer. For Paul doesn't just say, we give thanks to God always for you. He also says, making mention of you in our prayers. And what might he have been praying about? That this work of faith might hold, that this labor of love might hold, that this patience of hope might hold, might be permanent, and that it might affect others and infect others and deepen the church and grow the church. This is how we must respond. A seed has been planted in this regard relating to ACU. A seed has been planted. We mustn't remain worrying that the man God used to plant the seed has gone. We must rather pray that that seed would sprout, that seed would grow, that there would be many more Ken Tembles. We have potential here in Zambia. We have potential here in Lusaka. We have great potential. If I look at the faces represented here, I just see potential. Many educated people here. Well-educated people. We can't fail to build a university, to run a university. Yes, a university that will pay you well. A university that will produce politicians who are not corrupt. A university that will produce men and women who are faithful, are patriotic. They have a commitment to build this country and to build it for God. I see potential. It is not time to stop and weep. Even though we have every reason to weep at the departure of our brother and our sister. But it's not time for that. It's time to give thanks. And it's time to pray. And it's time to work. Amen.